This is the Bat Pod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to Holy Back Issues Batman. My name is Bill Beer, and tonight we're going to be talking about back issues. Batman back issues, if you didn't guess. Each time I record this episode, we're going to have a guest. That guest and myself is going to pick back issue of a Batman comic book. Batman can be crossed over into any book, or it can be in a Batman book. And we're going to just discuss it, hopefully have some fun.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
My guest tonight from the Selling Out Show podcast, David Schultz.
Hey man, what's going on? Billy, good to see ya. It's been too long.
Yes, it's been a while. How's it going?
Everything's just peachy keen. Thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
No problem at all. I contacted you a couple weeks back and say, let's talk about some back issues. Batman back issues.
Yeah.
And you had asked me, any Batman? And I said, yeah, anything that Batman stars in, we can talk about. And you knew exactly what you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. My eyes jumped out of their sockets on that one.
So the first question I have for you right off the bat, what's your first experience with Batman as a character?
Wow, going in the Wayback Machine, huh? I mean, every little kid likes Batman and everything, but I will tell you, I was not immune to Batman fever back in 1989. I was 11 years old. I went over one of my dad's friend's house, and he was selling off his comics. He was an older guy. He was moving away. I had asked him, hey, man, you got any Batman comics? You know, because the movie was out, everything was popular. And he said, yeah, sure, I can find some for you. And he pulled out some Detective Comics. And from there, I saw some Norm Brayfogle art. And even though I was familiar with the character, of course, that's what really hooked me. And I became a regular Batman reader after that, always making sure I picked it up off the racks at my local convenience store.
Yeah, you are a little bit younger than me, so.
Yeah. I look a little bit younger, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sorry.
No, I graduated from high school in 89,
so. Not me, Bill. I was a little whippersnapper. Still reading tech.
I asked you to pick a book, any back issue,
sure,
that starred Batman. It didn't need to be a Batman title.
Yeah.
Tell us what you picked.
Well, I mean, I am a massive Swamp Thing fan. Anybody who follows me on social media or even knows me remotely is aware of this fact. So when you say pick anything, I mean, I could look through history and all the confrontations that Batman and Swamp Thing have had. One that sticks out in most people's minds, is Swamp Thing Volume 2, number 53. So that was my first selection.
And I hadn't read this before.
What?
I know, shame on me. I had not read it.
You've got to be crazy. You've seen it before but never read it, or you just weren't aware of it?
I wasn't really aware of it, no.
Oh, you see what I did right there? I just saved your life, buddy.
Did you?
I did, because, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but, you know, this is needed for every comic fan's reading experience, so luckily I came along to save the day.
We'll see.
So again, it is Swamp Thing Volume 2, number 53, cover dated October 1986. This is a double issue, a giant size spectacular for $1.25 USD. It is titled The Garden of Earthly Delights. Written by Alan Moore, art by John Tottleman, absolute legend, colors by Tatjana Wood, letters by John Costanza, and edited by Karen Berger.
You know, the first thing that really stood out to me in this issue is not necessarily anything about Batman, but about Swamp Thing.
Really?
Yeah, his power.
Yeah.
I never realized this dude would be tough to take down.
Yeah, Bill, absolutely. I mean, right here in this issue, for people who are just picking it up fresh and don't know what's going on with the story, the first thing you notice is that Swamp Thing has turned Gotham completely green. He has taken the concept of an urban jungle and taken it literally, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he did this because the love of his life, Abigail Cable, Abigail Arcane, whatever the heck you want to call her. I mean, technically, since it is his wife, you could call her Abigail Holland. She's a woman by many, many names. But anyway, she's been imprisoned in Gotham City, basically doing some lewd acts with him that were caught via photograph and put into a tabloid magazine. So yeah, she's definitely in some hot water. Now, Swamp Thing could easily just go bust her out. But rather, you know what? He's like, you want to lock up my lady? I'm going to make you suffer. Therefore, he wanted to exert and show his full power by completely dominating Gotham City.
The one thing that I noticed here is Swamp Thing is really mad.
Yeah.
In the Swamp Thing books that I've read, I don't remember him being this aggressive. You fool around with his lady.
Well, for most of us, if someone locked up our wives, you'd be like, okay, cool, vacation. We get a little time off. Yeah. But no, not Swamp Thing, man. He is really upset about this. I mean, this is really quite the Alan Moore masterpiece, too, the way it's written. I mean, you say aggressive, but at the same time, he's again, a display of power without technically hurting anybody. Now, because he's turned Gotham green, there are people flocking to the city, a lot of hippies, a lot of free-spirited people, if you will. And it's almost as if he's kind of starting a cult. These folks want a green environment.
Yeah, it is a cult, basically.
But they're happy people, man. They're eating tubers. They're dancing around. Chester Williams is there. This issue is also great because it ties in some of the previous plot lines and characters prior to this, wherein the new reader wouldn't necessarily notice, but the seasoned reader goes, wow, that's cool that this person's included. There's also a bunch of characters in here of note, including the DDI, Lex Luthor, and one of the characters I just mentioned, Wallace Monroe, who's from Swampy number 35, the Nuke Face Papers.
The first time we see Batman, basically, he has a new vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that. I guess he had that hanging out in the Batcave somewhere.
A weed whacker. It's like a bat. I wouldn't call it a Batmobile. It's more like a bat tank with a bunch of saws on it, and he just comes roaring in, cutting down trees.
Industrial size.
Yeah, you got that right. And I'm glad you brought this part of the book up, because it's really exciting, because this is the part where Swamp Thing does get aggressive, but he's attacked first by Batman. Understandably, if you're Batman and there's a monster who's completely taken over your city and you feel powerless about it, you gotta lash out. This is also one of the great Batman beatdowns in Swamp Thing Batman history. How'd you feel about that, Bill? How do you feel about seeing Batman just get his butt kicked?
Well, after seeing his power, you know, it didn't really bother me because I didn't realize he had such a power set, to be honest. If I'm hitting you with Weed Killer,
yeah,
you're going to be pretty PO'd too.
Well, that's... well, yeah, I think anybody would be pretty upset, Bill. Yeah, definitely. Hey, neighbor, Weed Killer. But here, Swamp Thing multiplies, makes numerous bodies, and Batman knows he's in trouble. And there's a great panel where Batman actually says, uh-oh. Because, yeah, you're screwed there, Batty. But I love this part because Swamp Thing surrounds him, says,
have you seen enough? Do you at last understand what it is that you are fighting?
And then he kicks his, leaves him bloodied, battered, and bruised in a heap on the ground.
He doesn't break him too bad. But...
Well, it's not like a Bane break. He didn't break his back, but I mean... Geez, Bill, that's some pretty serious stuff. Batman's KO'd. And I want to bring this up because it's something I never will stop bringing up, is historically speaking, Batman has never, ever beaten Swamp Thing in battle. And I'm not a battle guy. I'm not the kind of guy hanging around, you know, outside the LCS going, oh yeah, Aquaman could totally beat up Namor or whatever. Because, you know, that's just weird. That's something like a kid should do. But... Batman's beatdowns have been happening since 1973 in Swamp Thing number 7, and there's never been an instance where Batman has gotten the upper hand. So, you know, history is on my side there.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
No, I don't even know how to beat Swamp Thing. I wouldn't know. You know, Batman is ready for everything.
Yeah, that's one thing, too, is he's always prepared nowadays, right? There's nothing he can, you know, nothing that can surprise him. That's a great thing about Batman from our era, is he still had an element of, you know, human frailty to him, I guess. I don't even know what to call it, where he wasn't this know-it-all jerk.
And I really love this one scene where, you know, the mosquitoes and the bugs start attacking.
Yeah.
And Gordon and Batman is just standing there, and he gets a little bug spray out of his utility belt and sprays it on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, handy to have around.
Two guys are swatting.
Yeah. Another great display of power. There's a scene in here where Swamp Thing just comes out of the floor. Like, he used the floorboards to make his own face, to put demands on Gordon.
Oh, right.
There's another time when he becomes like a 100-foot giant wicker man, I guess you could call it, which is really an iconic image in itself. John Tottlebin was one heck of an artist. I mean, he still is. But when people talk about Swamp Thing, they say, oh, yeah, you know, Bernie Wrightson, Stephen Bissett, and who can argue with that? But for my money, I'll take John Tottlebin every day of the week. And plus, he renders a really great Batman.
This is a very unique art style, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
A lot of inks.
Well, he normally is the inker on the series. He would pop out from time to time to take center stage as a penciler. Because, again, he's an amazing artist in his own right. But he was primarily the inker for the majority of the run.
Very detailed. Very detailed, too.
Oh, yeah, totally detailed. It's got that duo shade thing going on, especially when you see, like, the TV scenes. It's very cinematic. There's a lot of, you know, great imagery going on here, a lot of great angles, different perspectives. So again, my hat's off to John Tottlebin, and he's one of the best. He always will be. You know what's funny, though? We haven't even brought up Alan Moore's writing.
No, we haven't.
You got any feelings on that? Did you enjoy it, or are you not much of an Alan Moore fan?
I'm an Alan Moore Swamp Thing fan, mm-hmm. from what I've read.
Yeah?
I thought this was a pretty good issue.
Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good.
What didn't you like about it to give it pretty good status? I'm waiting for it. Jeez, Dave, it's great!
Okay, there wasn't anything particularly in here that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm. But?
The story leading up to this. I think if I would have, you know, read previous issues and got into the story, then this would make more sense to me.
Okay.
Because I was just trying to figure out, hey, what did Abby do again? Because at the beginning, I wasn't quite sure, but then I figured it out.
Well, I mean, they tell you in the book. So I understand what you're saying is it'd be better if you had read the previous material. But I do believe this is all fairly self-explained. I can't judge your intelligence level and how well you read. I'm not going to give you a reading test right now, Bill. But I mean, that's it is really good in that aspect. And I wasn't even going to say that in basically my closing. Is that you don't really necessarily need to read much Swamp Thing to appreciate this, because it's paced very well. There's a fair amount of action. There's a fair, especially come the end, there's a ton of drama. And speaking of the end, Batman couldn't beat Swamp Thing, but someone else could. And it was quite a horrific way to do so.
Yeah, I would say they, I mean, how many panels do we have here and you're watching them burn to a crisp?
Yeah, he gets napalm, people. Lex Luthor devises a way to scramble his brainwaves so he can't jump back into the green, and he gets napalm. And at the end, you think he's dead, and there's a great closing image of Batman grabbing Abby and holding her in his cape. And that's how it ends, and it actually sets up a great run coming forth where Swamp Thing, I feel like I'm spoiling everything, but hey, I guess that's what I'm here to do. He's in space and some of my favorite Swamp Thing stories. But, I mean, this whole thing, man, from cover to cover... The front cover is great, because Swamp Thing's as big as a building. You see Batman running, you know, across it, and you're like, what is going on here? What is Batman fighting? To the end image of him and Abby and the shadows and everything is quite beautiful.
Yeah, I tell you, that last page, mm-hmm. you know, where he's holding Abby, and you see the facial expressions of everybody, including Gordon and Bullock, and you only see Batman's eyes. It's shadowed over. That is a great panel right there.
You know what I really enjoyed too is when Swamp Thing gets hit, the panic put on his face was amazing, because I could feel it in my gut. Like, oh no, I'm trying to escape. I can't. Abby, get away. He knew it was trouble. He knew he was doomed. His first instinct, of course, is to protect his you know, beloved wife, and the rest is, you know, hibachi grill. Get out the s'mores.
Yeah, and he's dead, he's gone, not coming back.
Well, yeah, not into that version of Swamp Thing, but again, another great thing about his power set and why Luthor had to devise this brain scrambler is he can leap into the green. He's an avatar of the green. So that's why even I was amazed as a kid, because my first issue was the issue that followed this. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. I picked it up. I went into a smoke shop. I was a little kid, but this is back in the 80s, so you can still do that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, Swamp Thing is blue on the cover. What's going on here? Swamp Thing in outer space? I don't get it. But, you know, in hindsight, that was some of the greatest stuff ever written. And a great way to figure out how he would, in fact, escape. Because at the time, when you had finished that issue, here's another great thing about the time period. You didn't know what was going on. There weren't any magazines or websites or anything spoiling anything for you.
No.
So you were sitting there going, oh my God, Swamp Thing is dead. What the heck just happened here? So you definitely get your bang for your buck, too, in this issue. I think the writing was great. The pacing was great. The dialogue was amazing. Story good. Art good. Yeah, it's just a tour de force. And the thing is, they don't make comics like this anymore. And quite frankly, they can't. They really can't, because that was a fresh idea at the time. And I think the well has run dry in the medium of comics, wherein you're not going to surprise many people like I just discussed, or the shock and awe isn't quite what it used to be.
No, it's not. So when you read this issue initially, did you pick it up monthly? Is that when you read it? Or?
Well, no. For me, what happened was I to dive into the Swamp Thing fandom a little bit, I had picked up the next issue, number 56, My Blue Heaven. That was my first Swamp Thing comic. And to me, it's one of the greatest comic books ever written. Of course, there's a lot of nostalgia factor in there. But if you haven't had a chance to read that, definitely do. People out there in podcast land. And it got me curious, because my friend actually had the DC role-playing game as well. And I was always choosing to play Swamp Thing because he had such a great power set. And I'm like, I can just whoop everybody's butt in this stupid RPG, man, because I got Swamp Thing. And then I picked up 56. I was playing him in the RPG, and I started doing a little digging, and I found some back issues. We had one comic shop in my town. They'd sell mostly baseball cards and stuff, but they had some back issue comics, which was really cool. And coincidentally, that was a great way that I discovered a lot more Batman. So I did a little digging, and I saw that. And I mean, again, the cover just grabs you. It really just, it's to me, and I may be alone on this, it's just truly an iconic image.
When you named the issue, I had to look and see what it was, because I wasn't familiar with it. But yeah, it's an awesome cover. Now, I did pick up an issue of Swamp Thing that had the Justice League in it. It was one of the issues where the Justice League was crossing over.
That was the beginning of Alan Moore's run. Yeah, with the Floronic Man, right? Got the chainsaw. Oh, yeah. Still, I got to say, if you are a Swamp Thing fan and you haven't read this, you're doing yourself a disservice. If you're a Batman fan, you're also doing yourself a disservice.
Now, this was a good book. This is a must read for, like, any Batman fan.
Well, I mean, I got to ask you a quick question. As a Batman fan, do you prefer seeing Batman somewhat vulnerable, or do you prefer to see him being what we discussed earlier, the Mr. Know-It-All, I'm Batman?
No, I don't think that's necessarily that realistic, where, you know, every time he has the answer and he can get out of every situation.
Yeah.
I like to see stuff like this where he basically got his butt kicked.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the only way to get him out of there was to give his wife back.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because another great part when they're discussing the fact that she is in love with the vegetable and how wrong that is. I mean, they're comparing it to some really terrible acts. He was like, well, what about this relationship and that relationship, talking about aliens in the DC universe? And he even brings up, what about the guy in Metropolis? Because technically that would be illegal, right? And then when Batman comes to Swamp Thing, it's like, all right, we're going to set her free this day. It's over. Give me back my city. Next time you do this, I'm going to kill you. And Swamp Thing gives a little wry smile. He's like, you know what? I believe you. You know, I believe that you're right. Because he sees in Batman the inability to give up, to concede. So I think there's a lot of characterization there that gets lost. And especially with newer fans, you do expect him to be, oh, look, I've got bat laser nipples. I'm going to shoot this. And oh, my God, I'm trapped in this cage. I have this, you know, gadget and everything else. Here, the gadgets didn't work. His knowledge didn't work. The normal stuff, you know, the trickery or anything that he would use in his arsenal just couldn't cut the mustard. And we get to see this side of Batman that you don't get to see very often anymore, if at all.
No, I agree. It was something to see. It was good, as I said.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Ready to move up.
So, how about we talk about the book I picked?
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
The book I actually picked, and that issue is Batman 384, cover date June of 1985. Your writer is Doug Munch. Your artist is Rick Holberg and Rudy Nebres. Letterer, John Workman. Colorist, Andre Roy. And editor, Lynn Wein. And what's better than this cover?
The Swamp Thing cover is better than that cover? Well, no, I mean, it is a cool cover. It's a throwback cover, you know what I mean?
I know. Probably what got me to pick up this book was the cover.
Oh, I can see that, totally.
This costume isn't in the book.
No.
Which is probably a good thing. Just to give you a little background of what's going on in this book. You know, Dr. Fang is dead, and it's Batman's fault. And Dr. Fang's gang wants Batman dead. You actually see a little bit from Crisis of Infinite Earths. You know, you see the monitor. They don't actually show his face, but you see the monitor. This gang calls up the monitor and says, we want Batman dead. And he picks the perfect villain to take Batman out. The perfect villain. And it's the Calendar Man. Which, you gotta love the Calendar Man when we first see him. You like that robe?
Yeah, he's got a robe that's actually in the form of, days of from the calendar. What do you call them? The sheets that you would rip off or something? The pages? He's really into it, man. He's committed, this guy. Like you mentioned on the cover, he's got the most gaudiest costume of all time with a calendar on a hood and like he looks like a ninja or something. And then we see him here and he's just chilling out, lounging, and he's like, yeah, baby, come here. I got my chiffon robe made out of pieces of calendar.
Yeah, and he's not a killer. Not really. He enjoys the game with Batman. He enjoys, you know, he does his crimes based on the calendar. Sometimes it's days of the week. Sometimes it's seasons. This particular instance, there is a couple holidays in there, but you have like Groundhog Day is one of them. President's Day. The one thing in this book, every time that he commits a crime, he has a different costume, different abilities.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, he changes his crimes up depending on whatever form of the calendar he wants. They mentioned holidays, depending on the days of the week, all that great stuff. And that whole thing about, because on the cover, he looked one way. And then when you start reading the book, you're like, wait, is this the same dude? What's going on here? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was kind of cool. I was like, this is neat. Every time he commits a crime, he's got a different persona. It's kind of like two-sided coin, though, because, you know, it may look cool, but it's not very practical.
No, it's not. I guess you have to come up with different costumes, different, you know, gadgets.
Yeah, figure them out. You got to get that all tailored, fitted, working just right. I mean, some of these are pretty elaborate.
So he wants to give Batman a chance to stop him before he actually kills him.
Which is weird, right? Because he was contracted to kill Batman.
Yeah.
He was the whole first half of this issue. It seems like he's arguing with himself on whether or not to take the gig because he enjoys the hunt, but he needs that loot.
Yeah. And he's like, could it be that the crime of murder is too mundane, too artless to satisfy my needs?
Oh, shut up, Calendar Man.
But Batman, the biggest thing about Batman in this book that I've noticed, he's a ladies' man.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies' man.
Right in the beginning here, they kind of flash back to him jumping out of a plane. I guess Selina Kyle stopped a terrorist with a grenade or something, and he's on the hunt for her. And, yeah, like, you know, the whole thing about the ladies is, and we're going to see a common thread throughout the entire issue, but here he's just pining for her, and it's almost a little bit overbearing. It's very unusual to see Batman this concerned or this lovelorn.
Well, and he says at one point, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
But then when he finds out that she's still alive because she writes in the dirt, thank you, and he finds her parachute, he says, I don't think I'm obsessed anymore.
Yeah, he's looking for a parachute because she jumped out of the plane. And then after a few days, he finds it. And this is, I got to tell you something, Bill. The weirdest thing, he's like, oh, wow, I found her parachute. She must be alive. He picks it up. It says thank you in the dirt, but the artist didn't do a great rendition there. Because to me, at first, I'm like, wait, is that Catwoman leaving a different way of saying thank you in the dirt? Is that some kitty litter?
Yeah, that looks a little...
dungy. Looks a little bit like dung. Yeah. Let's just say it as it is.
Yeah. So we get that first crime where it's New Year's Eve, and he's dressed up in, like, a tux. But you don't really see him. You only see him in the shadows, and you don't... He undresses the security guard to look like Baby New Year. And he puts a ribbon around him that says Happy New Year when he steals the loot.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't actually New Year's. He's making up for the holidays at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing, and that's like the first clue, because initially you'd go, "What? Wait, New Year's has passed. Why the heck is he doing this to the guard? You know, everything else." But of course, Batman's a smart cookie, and he will hopefully eventually figure it out.
Yeah, and the one thing you see that you don't see in a lot of Batman books, you see the detective work.
Mm.
So you see him trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, they are kind of... They're making it easy for him, Bill. I mean, from the kitty litter thank you underneath the parachute to now the whole New Year's sash, you're like, okay, I can see a pattern here. They're really just handing it on a silver platter to the world's greatest detective.
Yep. I don't think he really wanted to kill him that bad. He wanted to be caught.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's his whole thing. Is like we just mentioned, wherein he's like, I don't want to kill him right away. I'm going to toy with him a little bit, and I'm going to see if he can, in fact, catch me.
Right, because the second place that he robs is a shadow magic shop. The holiday is Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dressed up, I don't even know how to describe, he's dressed up like the moon.
Yeah, you know what I would say he looks like a little bit is, I don't know, facially, maybe like Vision.
Like Vision.
It's a cool costume, though. It's the one I dug the most out of the entire issue.
It was, and he has those yellow eyes and
blue skin, and yeah, it's really neat. It's a hard thing to describe over the radio, but like half the costume is white, the other half is blue. It's like split in half. He's got like yellow on there. Again, you mentioned the yellow eyes, so it's visually striking.
Sort of looks similar to somebody in the Royal Flush Gang.
Oh, there you go. That's a way better description. I'm fired.
He throws giant side cards. At Batman. Yeah.
But even better, Jason Todd, who happens to be my favorite Robin, because I'm not a Robin kind of guy. I have a very low tolerance threshold for Robin in general. But if you say it's, you know, old school Jason Todd, I'll bite. He sneaks up behind Calendar Man with a skeleton on a string and gives him the old booga booga, knocking him off his game and basically setting him on the run.
And then he escapes. Gets on his Luna solar cycle. He must have a vehicle for every costume, too.
Yeah, pretty cool, man. I don't know what the heck he needed the money for. He's saying, oh, I could really use that money by killing Batman. He seems to be pretty well off.
Yeah. Actually see some more of Bruce's ladies.
Oh, yeah.
And we got, he mentions his brief interlude with Nocturna, who's a villain that... It's sort of like Catwoman. She's a thief, but have some multiple personalities. He's attracted to the dark side.
Oh, yeah. He's a naughty one.
And then you have Vicky Vale, of course, longtime love interest. But Vicky breaks up with him in this issue. I think that must happen a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he doesn't show up.
He's a terrible boyfriend, Bill. He'd be the worst.
Yeah, yeah, he's bad.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because he's handsome and he's rich. Filthy rich. Because right then in the next panel, another lady shows up. What's her name here? Julia? Is that it?
Julia Pennyworth. It's Alfred's daughter.
There you go. And she's like, oh, wow, you just broke up with him. Huh, I got a date with him tonight. These girls, no mercy. No mercy.
And Alfred's like...
Encouraging it.
Really wants his daughter to be with Bruce.
He's a butler and a pimp.
I mean, really, he tries really hard in this issue.
Oh, wicked.
And then Calendar Man has this sun costume. He shows up at a magic show. He's like the sun. I don't know how to describe. He's like, you know, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah, Nuclear Man. Yeah, he's got that with like an Aztec sun mask going on there. It's pretty wild. Very yellow. A lot of yellow going on here.
Very yellow. And Jason Todd, your buddy there, he's just going to jump on a tiger and tackle it.
Yeah, because when Calendar Man attacks the magic show, what's he steal here? A diamond. And by doing so, he put everything haywire and the tiger. God forbid anybody ever has like a tiger in their act. It never ends well. People stop doing that, please. And anyway, the Tiger is free, but Jason Todd, you know, he's a little tough dude. He's a bad you know what. So he's like, you know, huh? Hey there, Tiger. I'm just gonna punch you in the face.
And this is what I love here. You know, Batman throws his little batarang with a rope attached. You don't see that anymore. I love the batarang with the little rope attached. It makes no sense. It would never work.
But it's fun.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the third crime, you see Batman finds a calendar and it says Robin's gonna die.
Yeah. 5 days, Batman. That's all you got. You know, I'll keep toying with you before I murder you. Or I mop the floor with you.
And this story actually goes into Detective 551, and then it comes back into Batman 385. And that's what they did with a lot of stories back then. They would have the first part in the Batman and then continue the second part into Detective.
Which, you know, I much rather enjoyed than having to buy. Here's the thing. It's like, it's one thing if you're going from monthly to monthly. But nowadays, it's like, okay, here's a monthly. It goes into this monthly. Plus, you got to buy the one shot for this one, the one shot for that one. And before you know it, you reach into your pockets and you go, I've been robbed blind.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, a couple things that I want to mention in this book that I enjoyed. The first one was the portable bat signal.
Yeah, that's cool.
That Commissioner Gordon had. I assume he carries that in his trunk or something, or in a briefcase. And, you know,
radio flyer.
It's Batman. He just opens it up. There you go. And the other thing is, Jason Todd keeps his Robin costume hanging in his closet in his bedroom.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? I guess Alfred ironed it, put it in his closet.
Anybody comes over, hey, that's just cosplay. It's cool with the other kids. Yeah. That's what they did. Going to a convention later. Don't worry about it. Very accurate.
Yeah. I found a mistake in this book. Did you see where they made a mistake?
What's that?
On the last page, it's like the third panel from the bottom, the first long panel from the bottom.
Uh-huh.
They show a picture of Batman riding through the streets on his motorcycle. All the dialogue is Calendar Man.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll have to go back and check. I just put that issue down, but was that like narrative or what?
Well, he says, the day is swiftly approaching, and I hate to even think what I must do, but I have no choice. The Batman has one Achilles' heel, and to kill him, it must be pierced.
Oh! Yeah, you're right. I see that. Yeah, he's picked it back up. You're right. Oops.
So I would assume that editing that sort of thing out was a little harder back in the day than it would be now, because, you know, a lot of the artists and the writers would be in the same place or somewhere close.
Yeah, but Bill, you know, to be honest with you, it's just odd placement too, because the panel shows him zipping off on the motorcycle, as you mentioned, but the next panel is him just talking to Robin like they just finished saving the day.
Right.
So it should have been like in reverse, you know?
Yeah, the artist totally messed that one up or something.
For that mistake, I will never forgive you wherever you are.
Well, there were two artists on this book. Did you notice a difference?
No, I found the art to be very generic. I mean, it was okay. I think I didn't notice as I went along, but now in hindsight, as I'm looking, you can see there are some panels with a lot more detail than others. Rick Hoberg and Rudy Niebrez. I'm not overly familiar with either.
No, me either.
I do feel bad for Rick Hoberg. That must have been a terrible name to grow up with. Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't know. Do you want to give your summary of this issue? Do you have any more stuff you want to tell me about it?
I really liked about this issue that kind of brought it back, you know. This was like a soap opera, especially when you get Bruce's, you know, women in there and things that happened from previous issues. That was the one of the things that when I picked up these Batman books, it's like it continues from issue to issue. It's like one ongoing, you know, they had soap operas were big back in the 70s and 80s. Not that I watched them.
Oh, they're big now?
Yeah.
You ever watch a telenovela?
No, I do not. Is that your show?
You're missing out, baby. Well, I watch it from time to time. I'm not ashamed of that. My wife likes them.
But yeah, they're like serialized storytelling now, and like these TV shows and stuff. So I really enjoyed that aspect.
I mean, you definitely saw that more in the past than you do now. You are correct. The whole, well, again,
continuity,
that's the whole continuity.
Yes.
Remember continuity? Yeah. Hey there. Remember me? I'm Continuity. I'm Uncle Continuity. I'm here to borrow some money and then disappear again.
They don't have to tell you, oh, this happened between issue 334 and 335, but in 336, well, that happened before 333.
Well, I mean, you got your editor's notes, too, if anything got a little bit too hairy.
Yeah, they had a few like that, but it wasn't so convoluted that...
But I gotta call you out, Bill. I gotta bring you out on the floor to People's Court. And the reason for this is, what you're just praising in this issue is basically what you slammed when I discussed Swamp Thing number 53.
What did I slam?
You were like, well, I didn't exactly know what was going on because I should have read this stuff previous.
Because I didn't read it.
Yeah, but I mean, the same thing applies here.
Oh, yeah.
Flashbacks.
Yeah.
But overall, like, when you were talking about Nocturna, I was reading this issue. I'm like, I'm not familiar with her. What's going on? Do I need to go hit Wikipedia to find out, you know, what the scoop is? Thank God I have Wikipedia now. Because that issue didn't really resolve that. It made it very confusing for me as a first-time reader of that arc.
Yeah, I can understand that. And you, but there was no Wikipedia when you read this initially.
No, you had to go pick up the back issues. That's the great thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, Bill, it wasn't a complaint of mine, but to hear you speak is just filling me with rage. It's making me so angry.
I had to grab you by the collar and pull you out. It wasn't really a complaint. It was just a comment.
Well, you called it a good read instead of a great read.
Well.
Don't walk back on your comments now, Bill. It's on tape.
Okay.
The world can hear it. They have heard it. It's done.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I always enjoyed the letters that they posted in these books.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That was the one thing that was cool to read. Were you one of the ones that had a letter that was published?
I've had a couple letters published. Quite proud of that. It was Right Now magazine, which is for young writers, or writers in general, not just young writers. I happen to be young at the time. I've had it... Punisher. That was more recent, the Punisher. I think there's another one I have published. I want to say there was even one in the Hulk. Oh, no. That didn't get published. That was for the Jerry Duggan run. Whatever your name is. I'm tough with names today. But it's funny that you mentioned that there's a lot of story in this, because the one thing that really irritated me the most was the word balloons.
Really?
Not that there was a lot of them, which there were, because this issue was very verbose, but it's like there's too many dots. It was weird. Like, normally you see a thought balloon, there might be, like, three, like, bloop, 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 little, I don't even know, little clouds that lead up to the main cloud. This one, it was just, like, a straight stream of, like, 12 miniature circles until you get to the thought balloon. I don't know why the letterer, he's famous, he's great. Workman, I believe it is. Yeah, so, you know, Workman, he's great. But, man, those thought balloons were just god-awful.
So they bothered you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just weird like that. I'm sorry.
Balloons.
I know you actually like notice an actual error in the issue while I'm sitting there going, these stupid thought balloons. Darn things are distracting me. Gotta get that OCD checked immediately.
So, do you have anything else you'd like to add in this issue?
I will say this. This, to me, reminds me of being 12 years old all over again, wherein there was a term I like to use or throw around from time to time called bathroom book. This would have been an ideal bathroom book for me as a young kid, because there's always like a couple issues like Bayou Billy or something I really didn't care about, you know, sitting in the bathroom magazine rack. This one, it's not a bad issue, but it's totally what I would have put in the bathroom as a 12-year-old child to kind of like occupy my time while, you know, I'm pulling a Selena Kyle thank you note.
Okay.
But it was a throwback. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It's not going to win any awards.
No.
Something, I don't know how many people look back and fondly go, oh my God, this is the book that changed my life. But apparently it's something that you remember from your days down at Video Time or wherever it was there. And
Wonder Book and Video.
Wonder Book and Video. There you go. And it made a memory for you. And that's what makes it important. So even though it might not be worth a fraction of a, you know, wooden nickel, to you, it does have value because it brings you happiness. And that's what the most important thing is. And that's what comic books are all about. So for all you variant people and, you know, grading and everything else, and people who ruin the hobby with all that junk, take a look at this book, will you? And remember Bill in his Hokey Poke Town and his little video store and all the happy memories it brings back. Flooding back, baby.
Flooding back, yes. I rather enjoyed the issue, so yeah. Every issue is somebody's favorite, you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah, that's not for me, but somebody's going to love it.
Yeah, every issue is someone's bathroom book as well. It's just different strokes for different folks.
So, yeah. So, yeah, this was fun talking about back issues.
Yeah, totally. I could talk about back issues all day, every day. I could never stop. It's my bread and butter, baby.
So, before we get out of here, do you want to tell everybody about your podcast that you do?
Sure. Thank you for asking. I do a show called Selling Out, which you can find us on Twitter at Selling Out Show. Gonna put show on the end there. Basically about life. I don't talk about comics on there, so I don't know how many people are gonna be targeted from this appearance per se, but you know, basically the perspective of a 40-year-old guy who's lived a interesting life, or at least I think is interesting, me and my pal from high school and everything, and we just discuss what it's like getting older, what it's like, you know, looking back on life now and knowing what you know now compared to then. So we have a lot of fun with it. I like to think people enjoy it. So please check it out.
Yeah, it's a good podcast. It's very entertaining.
Thank you. You can also find us on infirmary.org. That is our network. So if you just go on there, you'll find the Selling Out page. And there you go. Listen away. All the, I hate this term, podcatchers. Who came up with that?
I don't know. It sounds like an app.
Well, it's an app, but it sounds like an STD. It's like, hey, you get that podcatcher? Yeah, it burns, baby, it burns. But yeah, but anyway, it's on all that stuff, iTunes, Spotify, you know, we're on YouTube. You just do search Selling Out or Infirmary Media. You know, there we are, face-to-face, couple of silver spoons.
Very cool. Very cool. So I really appreciate you coming on.
I missed you, Bill. I missed the dickens out of you. Thanks for having me. It's always fun talking comics with you. You're a peach.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again. Because I'm starting to do this back issue podcast. It's sort of a replacement of what I did when I did the Too Old, Too New podcast. So,
well, you're going to pay me again like you paid me for this one? Because that check bounced. I was going to talk to you about that when we were off the air. Yeah, buddy. You know, I got hit with a fee.
Oh, I'm sorry. The fee was probably more than the check.
Well, that might be true, but still, we'll discuss this later off air. We don't want to put all the sordid details out there for the fine listeners.
So thanks again.
Thank you.
No problem. If you'd like to be a part of the BatPod, we have an email. Our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Also, you can send us an audio clip of that email. We'll play it right on the show.
And if you guys would like to get a hold of us at our bat phone, yes, we have a bat phone. That phone number is 410-449-0650. Again, the bat phone number is 410-449-0650.
And we are on Twitter. It's at PodBat. I am at GothamKnight13.
And I'm at JoeyGalvez84.
Thank you for listening to Holy Back Issues Batman. If you'd like to be on Holy Back Issues Batman, please feel free to contact us. Love to have you on the show to talk about some back issues. I really appreciate everybody who's downloaded, listened to this particular episode. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll have another episode for you out soon. Until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later. We'll be right back.